You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio.
.com. And don't forget the E's on that end of that those two words. So you got to do that. In the meantime, let's listen to Edie with all of the events that are going on in the gardening in the Bay Area. So here comes Edie.
Okay, pens and paper, because this is a long list. And don't fall asleep. Okay. I got to start at the right place here. All right, so let's see. Coming up March 13th, Terrarium Workshop at Succulents in San Francisco, 402 Cortland Avenue in San Francisco. Give them a call if you'd like to sign up. 415-282-2212. That's 415-282-2212. They're at 402 Cortland Avenue in San Francisco. And they always have all sorts of fun stuff at their store as well. The Pacific Orchid Expo Masquerade is going on right now. And that is at the San Francisco County Fair Building, 1199 9th Avenue in San Francisco. You do need to go to Eventbrite for tickets. And that's happening today from 10 on. And today is the last day. All right, so Philoli is having Stories in Bloom today, this afternoon, and that's at 2 o'clock. So you'd like to give them a call, see if there's still tickets available at philoli.org, F-I-L-O-L-I.org, or give them a call, 650-364-8300. They're located at 86 Kenyatta Road in Woodside. That's spelled like Canada, but Canada, yeah. Kenyatta Road in Woodside. That's that for that, okay? And let's see, we have the Green String Farm Institute seminar on February 5th, it says at the top. But I know that's coming up March 5th. There we go. They will be having a discussion on cover crops, an integral part of reducing soil loss due to erosion. This is, let's see, how to get a hold of them. Okay, this is hosted by Bob Kennard. They're located at 3571 Old Adobe Road. And I have an email, L for Linda, L Fahey, F-A, like Frank, A-H-Y. And let's try that one more time. So it's only five letters. L-F-A-H-Y. At Green String Farm. So sorry, that's so hard. GreenStringFarm.com. GreenStringFarm.com would also be their website, so you can find out more information. Green String Farm. That'll work. Okay, Garden for the Environment, March 5th, is having an in-person workshop on urban composting. You get tickets at Eventbrite. Give them a call for more information at 415-558-8246, 415-558-8246. They're located at 1590-1590 7th Avenue in San Francisco. March Veggie Happenings, this is a seminar online, and this is given by the Sonoma County Master Gardeners. Go to zoom.ucanr, or ucanr.zoom.us. Happening March 8th at 12 o'clock. So that is in the next week. The March Veggie Happening. So go to ucanr.zoom.us/webinar/register and do a hunt for the March Veggie Happenings. That sounds like fun. I start out and then I stop, so I'm sorry about that. Okay, honeybee swarm season is here. So a swarm may contain over 1,500 to 30,000 bees, and you want to make sure that they have a good and safe place to do what they need to do, pollinate, etc. So if you see a swarm, and maybe it's in the wrong spot, go to sonomabees.org and report a swarm. So that's sonomabees.org, and that's for the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association. Their also website, of course, is www.sonomabees.org. All right, so that is good. And let's see, did I want to do something? Okay, here we go. All right, it's coming up. There's some very interesting events coming up for Toni Gattoni. She has written a book about adaptive gardening, and she'll be giving some webinars March 6th from 9 to 4. Gardening for Life will be one of the offered there's a full day of virtual webinars that you sign up for, $65. It also gives you privileges to go in there and see these webinars at your leisure for I think up to a week or so after the event. This is a deadline of March 1st. If you'd like to sign up, there's still openings on March 6th is the event day. Saturday's already sold out. But go to widbygardening.org. And that is spelled W-H-I-D, like dog, B, like boy, E-Y, gardening.org. So widbygardening. And that will be something happening March 6th from 9 to 4, all-day event. Toni Gattoni will be speaking at that event for 45 minutes anyway. She also will be speaking March 8th at the Pacific Go-To Gardeners Pacific. Okay. Meet a Gardener. Sorry about that. Okay. Boy, really a mess here. Gardeners Supply Stores, gardeners-supply-stores.ticketleap.com to get a ticket for this event March 8th, 3 p.m. And gardeners.com is the event. It's on a Tuesday, and that's also coming up. You can also sign up for Toni Gattoni's, she sends out an email. She does an email every month. So tonigattoni.com. She has a book out called Gardening for Life, Adaptive Gardening, and she will also be speaking at the Great Grow Along. That was a guest that Dad had on his show last week. Mm-hmm. It's happening Tuesday, March 15th at 1 p.m., and it's called The Great Grow Along. So look for that, and you will be informed of all of the coming events. I'm done. I'm bored you guys enough. Here you go.
I guess. Anyway, our numbers, if you'd like to call in, 1-415-808-5600. I do have a website. How do you get there?
Yeah.
You go to www.bobtanum.com. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Tons of stuff there.
And a lot of people go there and look, and we get a lot of, I guess they call them hits.
I know. So,
yeah. We get hits. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but anyway, we do get a lot of them, whatever, and so stuff like that. Okay, now, let's see. Fruit trees are blooming? Yeah. Should I worry? No. They won't all bloom, and the bees aren't out yet. If you noticed, it's cold outside. And so if you were a little honeybee, little baby honeybee, you know, you're not going to go outside. You're going to stay right in the warm bee box and hive and go from there. So Edie mentioned the bees making a big mess in some place and stuff like that. They wander around. Anyway, what do you call them?
Bee swarm.
Swarms, yeah. And I, when I had my place down in Belvedere, my next-door neighbor was starting to spray them with insecticide because he didn't want all those bees around. And I said, don't do that. Good grief. And so we were able to get the Marin County bee people there, and they gathered them all up. And what they do is really very interesting because these bees are in love with the queen. And the queen is in the middle of all that. But they don't feel like they have to protect the queen. So don't worry about being stung, because they don't sting when they're in a swarm. Did you know that? No.
No, I did not know.
Now you do. So they don't. This swarm came into the nursery right next to the parking lot. Oh, my goodness sakes. The people were just, oh, my God, a bee. No, they're very tame. They are just mainly protecting the queen. And if you don't go put your hands in things like that, you're there. What the organization does is come in and collect the queen. And the bees follow the queen. So there you go. And that's how they do it. And it works out really very well. In the meantime, why don't we go to Rick in Cloverdale. Hi there, Rick.
Hi, Bob. Good morning. I got a question with this frost we had this last few days.
Yeah.
I covered my Meyer lemon. It's a young one. It's only about 3 years old. I covered it with a sheet, and I put Christmas lights underneath it. And
okay.
I thought it was going to work, but it looks like when I pulled it off last night, the tips of the new growth had burned. They're black. So I was wondering okay. when I should prune those.
Don't. After Don't. The middle of okay. March.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's really the you see this kind of thing, like in the summertime, you'll see the ivy all burned up, and then they want to clean it all up, and that's not what you do at that time. You okay. wait till winter and the new growth. Anyway, with citrus, I'm surprised that your efforts didn't really collect it. It must have gotten down really into the 20s.
Yeah, I think we had mid-20s, and it was not at the peak of the morning. You know, it wasn't at 7 o'clock. We had it from about 3 or 4, and it went all the way through.
Yeah, it'd be around 5 in the morning, just before the sun comes up. That's usually where...
We had a good 2 or 3 hours of frost.
Yeah. So, Rick, what I would do from now on, you're going to get another little frost for the next couple of days, I think it is. I haven't looked at the weather report, report this morning, but I suspect that what you want to make sure is that the plant is hydrated. So water it.
All right. Okay.
You know, the real thing is people say, well, if I water, it's going to freeze. Well, yeah, but the frost on water only goes down to 32 degrees and then that no deeper. So you're actually, by watering, you're protecting the plant. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Isn't that fun to know something like that you never knew?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Rick. Thank you so much for the call, and thanks for listening. Tell a friend. We're going to take a little break right now. I'm looking at the clock. Edie's got her job done. I'm ready, willing, and able to 1-415 and 808-5600. This is Bob Tanum in the Garden. Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560.
I was talking about frost, and we did have some pretty killing frost this last few days. So, and I think, I haven't looked at the weather report, but I think it's over in about another 2 or 3 days. So this is why I tell you not to start pruning everything, especially frost-sensitive plants, until after the middle of March. Did you ever get that message? Good grief, people. Anyway, let you know that and stuff like that. 808-5600. I haven't seen any lines being buzzing, whatever. Nothing's coming in. So get your rear end going and dial the numbers 1-415-808-5600. Now, let's see. I talked about the fruit trees blooming. Don't worry about it. They're going to be fine. Frost protection, don't touch anything until after the middle of March. that's one of my really thing. Oh, now the hummingbirds are back. So get out and sterilize all of your feeders and clean them up and rub them down and put them in the dishwasher if you have one and do that. So go. And you will start saving a lot of lives because the hummingbird need their food right now as the weather is cold. So let's go to Chris in Novato. Hi there, Chris.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good, actually, never mind.
Well, I just want to let you know that we listen to you every Sunday morning, my husband and I, and we enjoy your show so much.
Thank you.
So I just called to last week. You had a caller call in about the rat, trapping rats, and you recommended the plaster of Paris and the oatmeal.
Yeah.
And I live in Novato, excuse me, and Peeny Hardware has this effective trap that they sell. And one of the workers there at Peony's actually invented it, and there's instructions on it and everything on how to use it. And what it is a 4-inch PVC pipe, and there's a vertical part that goes up about 3 feet, and it has a cap on top. And then at the bottom of that vertical part, there's a T, and on each side, you know, perpendicular to the vertical part, there's about 2 feet on each side, and that is left open. And you pour the solution of the oatmeal and plaster of Paris down the vertical part, and you cap it. And so the rats, so if you put it along your fence, the rats can, you know, access in and out on the PVC pipe and eat the solution, and it keeps it from getting wet. And we've got 3 of them in our yard, and they're working very well.
Wow. Okay, Chris, I'm going to maybe even talk to them about it. I'll get a hold of somebody and see what we can do, and maybe even think about it and maybe mention it on the radio and see who else in the whole wide Ace Hardware kind of complex carries them. Okay.
Yeah, and this particular lady is very knowledgeable and just excellent customer service. So,
okay.
Yeah, and then I had one other question. So I want to order tomato seeds, and I'm wondering here in Novato if you can recommend a couple of varieties that you've had good success with.
Champion.
Okay.
And I love a black one. So there's a couple of Cherokee varieties that are just wonderful. Flavor-wise, you can't beat them.
Yeah.
They're not high producers, but they who cares? You've got a tomato that really is exceptionally flavorful. I think that's a good idea. But that's pretty much. Also, if you're interested, I think one of the most productive ones would be Stupice, S-U-P-I-C-E. And it is a guarantee, lots of tomatoes.
Okay, good. Well, thank you. I'm going to go order from Territorial Seeds. So
there you go. Yeah, they've got them.
Thanks for the recommendation. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Frank in Burlingame, hello. Hi there.
Good morning, Bob. How are you today?
Pretty good.
Very good. Quick question. On the last couple of apple trees that were towards the end of the pruning, they have not bloomed yet. Still okay to throw the copper sulfate and spray them at this time of year?
I would, yeah.
Okay, perfect. That'll do
That's it. All right, go. You know, people will wait until the rains start, really. Hopefully they will start. But, you know, in the middle of a rainstorm, they'll say, is there still time to, you go on and on and on. You've had all of February and part of March so far coming that you really, if you haven't sprayed then, what am I going to say? All right. Thank you for the call, Frank, and thank you for all of that. Let's go to Laura in Palo Alto. Hi there, Laura.
Hi, Bob. Hi. Hi. Hi, I love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to plant some beets, red beets, in containers. And I wonder, is now a good time to plant those beets, or should I wait until it gets warmer?
You know, Laura, no, beets can be planted 12 months out of the year.
Oh.
So you can do it right now if it's convenient, or you can wait until the weather warms up. It's up to you whenever you want to do that. Maybe you don't want to get out in the cold weather. I don't know.
do they take a lot of water? Do they like to stay evenly moist, or should I let
them dry
out? Just
evenly moist. You don't have to put a lot of water on them. No, once they come up and the first true leaves, the second true leaves, I should say, are the ones that you weren't. When they do that, you can almost maybe once a week.
Okay, sounds good. And then I have one other question, if I may. So this summer, I'd like to take some cuttings from a hydrangea plant that I have. Mm-hmm. And how do I do that? I mean, should I, you know, put the cutting in water or wrap it in newspaper, or what's your advice there?
Well, actually, I've done very good with taking a cutting of the new growth, all right? The first 6 inches, take the bottom half of the leaves off, then wrap them in sort of a butcher wrap type of thing, newspaper's fine. And then keep them wet with fertilized material, such as VF-11 or even Sea-Pelt. And keep them moist for about 6 weeks, and then open up the package. And you'll get about 75% of those will have little calluses on the bottom of their cutting. And that cutting will form a root. So after they get to the callus, then you put it in a pot of potting soil and go from there.
Okay, sounds good. I'll try that. Thank you so much, Bob. I love your show, and I really appreciate you every week.
Well, I love my listeners. Laura, thank you so much. Let's go to Dennis and Moraga, and then we'll take a break.
Hi, Bob.
Hi there, Dennis.
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, great. So, Bob, we have some fruit trees. One is a nectarine tree, pretty mature. And then we have a newer form one tree, apricot, nectarine, plum, and peach. We pruned it in January, and we sprayed it twice with the copper. 2 weeks ago was the last spray, so we did it twice. Yeah. And they're pretty much in full bloom right now.
Okay.
Lots of nice flowers on both trees. And was wondering, can I spray one more time to just prevent peach leaf curl, or was twice enough?
Dennis, now with the apricot and though, and we're talking about peach trees?
So one of the trees is a nectarine, it's just nectarine only, and the other one is a 4-in-1. It's got plum, peach, apricot, and nectarine.
Okay. All right. You know, the nectarine is the one that says, I'm sorry, hold on a second. Anyway, we got that out of the way, I hope. Anyway, Dennis, you want to be able to put the peach leaf curl is on the nectarine, and yeah, okay. Spray the nectarine is the only thing you have to spray, and you should do that one more time with copper, yes.
Okay. I mean, mostly flowers right now with a little bit of leaves coming out, so it should be okay, right? And we did it 2 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. You should
so
be fine.
Overspraying.
One of the things, Dennis, when these trees are blooming and the bees are not out, what I have recommended that you go out and shake the tree just like you would a tomato plant.
Well, it's a pretty big tree, and it's pretty stout, so I'm not sure if I can shake it too much.
Well, get the small limbs. That's where the fruit is anyway.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
By shaking it, what are we trying to do here?
You get the pollen out, just like you're taking the place of a bee.
Oh, I see. You're just kind of, by
just
shaking it, self-pollinating, I guess, the pollen's from... The flower to another.
All the bees do, Dennis, is to go from flower to flower, and they pollinate. Okay. Well, you can do the same by just shaking the tree.
Okay. Hey, one other question. We got a crepe myrtle tree, and we got it partially pruned just because our gardener ran out of time. when's the latest that you can finish pruning a crepe myrtle? There's some bugs, but there's no flowers that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, they bloom on new wood, so the sooner it is better.
Okay. But if we prune it in within a week or so, it shouldn't really.
You should be okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you very much. Love your show.
Goodness. Thank you for that. I'm going to take a little break right now. Maybe I can get the frog out of my throat. But we got to do that anyway. So here we are, and our numbers, we got a pretty full load. But you can still dial in 1-415-808-5600. This is Bob Tanum.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is Talk Radio 560 KSFO. You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
San Carlos. Hi there, Todd.
Good morning, Bob. We look forward to every Sunday morning listening to you before going to church.
I love that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so we have four or five what I think are calla lilies in our backyard that try to come up every spring. I'm looking at them now. They're about 4 to 6 inches tall. That's about all they do. They've never bloomed. I'd kind of like to transplant them. Is that something I could try to a sunnier, non-clay soil spot?
Well, they do need sort of loose soil. I think at a couple of places I've seen them growing in a creek, which means that there are a lot of sand, a lot of loose soil, and they get a lot of water in the wintertime. You can move them anytime, because if they're not blooming, there's no disruption there. So go ahead and do it. Can just do a part of them and see what happens.
See what happens. Should I wait until they die off and then dig them up?
That's the normal way you would do something like that, correct, yes.
Okay, and then do I need to put them in a dark place, or can I just put them back in the soil in a new spot?
If you can find a sunny spot that gets a lot of water from the rains, that would be an ideal location. As long as it's got good soil, put some bone meal down there or bulb food, and treat them as a bulb, which, of course, they're more of a tuber than anything, sort of like a dahlia. But then that's how you do it. So, yeah, Todd, I think you're in good shape if you try that. The only question in my mind, if they were, you don't know the color of them.
No, and we've lived here for, like I say, almost 20 years, and the people before us, an older couple, probably planted them who knows how long ago. So these are old bulbs that are trying to do something, but they
never quite get there. Yeah. So you can't hurt them.
All right. I'll give it a try. How deep would I plant those? Do you know?
8 to 10 inches.
Okay. So quite a ways down.
Yeah.
All right. We'll give it a try. We appreciate you, Bob.
All right. Hey, Todd, and get back to me probably in about next fall and see what happens. Okay. All right.
All right. I'll do that. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Claudia's in Rogue Valley, Oregon. Hi there, Claudia.
Hey, Bob. I left California, but I haven't left you. I listen to you every Sunday.
Well, thank you so much.
I wouldn't miss it. I miss you guys. But here's what I need to know. We have a gardener radio show, and the rogue gardener up here, nice man, says if a tree is mature, it does no longer have a taproot. Taproots are only for growing up. Is that correct?
No.
I've never heard that. No, I didn't think so. No. I've never heard you say that all these years, so I didn't think
a taproot is a taproot. It doesn't go anywhere. And as a tree matures, the taproot usually goes deeper, which is why I recommend that you don't have to water a tree, or like an apple tree or any other tree.
Right.
I'm not sure. Of course, usually a taproot is from a seedling tree. So maybe that's what he's talking about.
Okay. Maybe. I'll call and ask him. What are you talking about?
Yeah. What are you talking about? No taproot. Like many trees, like redwoods don't have a taproot, but that's because they're all, even though they're from seedlings, that's not their habit. They take advantage of the surface water as much as they can. Interesting.
I had eight redwoods when I was in Dublin. So, yeah, I know all about redwood trees.
Okay.
You helped me survive them. We're oak tree up here. This is a lot of oak trees in the Rogue Valleys near Medford. So we're on a big ranch, and those suckers have tap roots, don't they? Because you don't have to
They do, because there are seeds. They're seedlings. Yeah. They will have a tap root. All right. And tell your gardener up there, he ought to listen to this program. Maybe get, never mind. Don't do that.
I don't think he would like it.
All right, Claudia. Thank you so much for the call. All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Cindy in Dublin. Hi there, Cindy.
Hi there, Bob. Thank you for your wonderful show, for sure.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir. So, Bob, pink dragon fruit. Oh, boy, they look interesting. And how do they grow, Bob? I don't even know. Are they on a tree? Or?
No, they're a vine, I think. You know, Cindy, I really don't know. My goodness sake, something I don't know. But I will find out, and you can call me next week, and I will have all of the information you ever possibly needed about pink dragon fruit.
Oh, wonderful, Bob. Well, thank you so much for that.
Okay.
And then you have a great week, and I'll catch up with you then, okay?
Very good, Cindy, and thank you so much for listening and the calls, and that's great. Let's go to Karen in Fairfield. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
You hear me?
I'm here. You're there.
Oh, okay. I have a cherry tree. It's probably about 3 or 4 years old. And it's not my peach and nectarine tree are blooming, but my cherry tree is doing nothing. And last year I didn't get any cherries. And so how do you take care of this? Is supposed to be a patio cherry tree.
So that would be a semi-dwarf or dwarf variety. Did it bloom?
It's not blooming now. It's not. Last year it did bloom, but I didn't get any cherries. And right now I'm looking at it, and it's not blooming. It's not doing anything.
Well, not necessarily that it's not doing anything. Is it? It's a little early, Karen.
Do I water it?
Well, you should, this year, you got to water it probably maybe once a week.
Oh, okay. I thought it was wintertime I didn't have to water.
Well, you don't have to water normally in wintertime when you don't have any, but when the water doesn't come, you got to do the watering yourself.
Oh, okay. Okay, then. And one more question. How do you take care of a palm tree?
It's not my favorite, Karen. I'll just let you know. But, they don't really require very much care, depending on the variety. Do you know the does this grow tall or short? Do you know?
It's going to be a short one. It's going to be a short one. I'm thinking I'm over water. I was watering every day, but then I started every other day.
No, Karen, don't water every day anything, except maybe a banana tree. But then, other than that, no. What I would probably do is maybe once a week. Of course, now you're in Fairfield during the summer, you get pretty hot weather, and you might want to adjust your watering to the temperature.
Okay.
So if it's a real hot day, you might don't water right then, but at that night when it cools off, then you go and go ahead and water it, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, Bob. I listen to you all the time.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You bet. All right. Take care. I'm going to take a little break right now. So, Margaret, George, and Henry, just hang on. I'll be right back with you. This is Bob Tanum and the Garden Talk, Radio 560, and it is KSFO.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KS.
So hi there, Margaret.
Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling with a question about a tree. It's 60 years old, an orange tree. And underneath it, it has a brick-like patio that goes all around it. And I know you always say we have to fertilize our citrus, but I can't fertilize this tree, I don't think it gets down the granules. Is there anything else I can use, like a liquid or something, to help it?
Yeah, you could do that with fish emulsion, spray the foliage.
Oh, okay. It's like 25 feet tall, so...
you don't have to spray it clear to the top. You get, because it will absorb through the leaf into the plant, and that cambium layer will take it clear up to the top. Okay.
Oh, okay. And you think that even that the tree is so old, because I heard you talk about the taproot that goes down, I really can't irrigate this tree anymore. So you think that would really help it?
Yeah. Margaret, I think if you could, are the bricks just set in concrete or are they loose?
Well, they're really set in there. They're like, 50 years old.
Sure, I know, so am I.
It's into dirt, yeah.
But I'm still viable,
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful tree. I just want to do right by it. I just can't figure out how to get that stuff into the tree.
So actually, if you have a hose end sprayer, go out about once every 2 to 3 weeks and spray the foliage with the liquid fish emulsion.
Good, I can do that. Okay.
I thought you could.
Like a plan.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think out how to, with all that brick and everything around it, how does it get any water throughout the wintertime and summer? I don't know.
It really doesn't a lot. Outside of the brick is lawn, so I'm thinking it's picking it up from
okay.
the lawn.
Sure, yeah. That's where it is. All right. All right, Margaret. That should solve the problem with you. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much, Bob.
You bet. Let's go to Bill in Round Rock, Texas. Hi there, Bill.
Howdy, Roberto.
¿Cómo está?
so not to be outdone by Rogue Valley, Oregon.
You're right.
In Round Rock, Texas, listening. So if anyone at Cumulus is monitoring things, then this is a very popular show and could probably use an extra hour.
You got that right. I would love it, Bill, because it's I no sooner get the frogs out of my throat, the hour's over. So that's the way it happens. But, I don't know what causes that. But, boy, I'll bet you've been getting the cold weather.
Still, yeah, it's amazing. I
haven't heard from Ann, but she, maybe because she's frozen in place.
Tony actually unwrapped 5 of the plants in the backyard I've had blanketed, and I said, "What'd you do that for?" And without any back and forth, I just went out and rewrapped them. And thank goodness,
yeah, it got cold. Don't argue with the boss.
That's right. Actually, speaking of oranges, there a moment ago, I'm just biting into a Caracara. Fantastic oranges.
Exceptional, yes.
But hey, I was curious if you know much about a ginkgo jojoba tree.
Just about everything.
They're
one of the oldest trees. They made it through the Ice Age.
Is that right? Because, I've seen this picture of a 1,400-year-old one in China online. But
that's a young one.
We lost 3 of our larger trees in the freeze last year and put one in the front yard, and it went in November. And I was, this company called Moon Valley Nursery, they gave us some moon juice and moon dust, but over and above what they've provided, do you have any tricks on especially establishing a newly planted ginkgo tree?
How's the drainage in your soil? I'm not familiar with Texas soils.
Well, yeah. It's like brick underneath.
Okay. That's what I thought. It's sort of like California.
Yeah.
So drainage is everything with the ginkgo. They don't have a tap root. Oh, boy. I'll hear about that one. But they don't get a tap root. They're surface rooted. I'm not quite sure how that got them through the Ice Age, but it did. And they are throwbacks to prehistoric times. They actually, common name is fern tree.
A fern tree. Okay.
Yeah, because they do not, they do get blossoms and they do form seeds. And the seeds, oh God, if you get a female, you've really had a problem because the seeds just stinks all over the place.
They stink?
Yep. Oh, wow. Do I have time for a story? Yeah. In the city of Berkeley, before the World's Fair, they planted ginkgo trees as a street tree up and down the roads. And when Roosevelt came there to open up the fair, he said, the only place in Berkeley that I found stinks worse than the sewers, because they used to dump their crap into the bay, is this tree that just throws these nuts down on the ground and they stink. And that's from the, you know, FDR.
That's funny.
Well, isn't that funny?
I gotta imagine story. That we must have gotten a female, probably.
Well, that's okay. If you have, that's why they're on sale.
Oh, no, this was not on sale.
Oh, okay. All right. But if it's a female, the only thing, it's not a big deal. Just rake up the nuts. That's all.
Yeah.
All
right. I'm just really looking forward to those beautiful yellow leaves when the...
Oh, yeah. They are glorious. I love them. And special kind of trees. There are varieties that are male, and they are really... Those cost a little extra. So I don't know what you got, but then hopefully that's where you are, okay?
Well, next fall I'll send you a picture.
All right, there we go. I have it. All right, Bill, thanks for the call. Anything else? No. Okay, let's go to Scott in San Mateo. Scott, how are you? Hello, Scott. One, two. Okay, Lantana. Scott?
Yes.
Nope.
Yes. Yes.
Hello. Oh, you're there. Okay, Scott, hi.
I'm here. Bob, you know what? I want to plant a lantana, and there's a million varieties, and I want to grow more like the bush lantana where I can make a hedge out of it.
Then you want, I think it's some, oh, no. Oh, God, there's the one with the yellow center and the red around the outside of the bloom. God, I can't think of it. Scott, give me if you want to, just ask me that question on my email, bobtanum@aol.com. I have a lot of references. I can pick that up for you right away. Okay?
So I go on to what? I go bobtanum@aol?
Yeah. That's it?
Very good. Very good. I appreciate that, Bob.
Okay, Scott. You take care. All right. Well, how about Ann? Ann is hi there from I can't say. Hi there, Ann.
Hi.
Did you know I was talking about you to a friend of yours, Bill?
In a, I heard.
Similar location.
Yes. One thing I wanted to ask you, I mentioned my gardenia plants, and evidently they got too cold. And I wanted to know if I trim them, because they're young, and I've only had them, this will be the second year.
Okay.
And if I trim them, will that help them come back?
Okay, Ann, yes, but don't do that till about the, I'm not quite sure the weather's going to be in your area, Texas-like. So what I thought maybe, we want to keep that a secret, right? too much fun. But I think that I wouldn't do that till towards the, you have to look at the weather reports. If it looks like it's going to be cold again. Then you're going to have to look at maybe waiting until after that's over, because any new growth would be terribly frost sensitive.
All right. Now, how far back can I cut?
Well, I would just take the tips off.
All right.
Because I would not be brutal with, these are not a vigorous plant in your areas where... You know, in the Bay Area, they really are vigorous, but then not there. So anyway, I would just be light.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.